Amos chapter 5, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek you me, and you shall live. That's what he said to me. It wasn't a lot, really, that he said, but it was so spoken to me so seriously and so directly that I had to hear it and to think about that and look at that. And I said, God just spoke to me. And he told me, seek you me, and you shall live. So he really let me understand in a moment that I had to do something. I had some responsibility in living, that it wasn't going to be just dumped on me like, you know, ripe cherries. I had to do something, and it was called seek God. I had to spend some time seeking God. Now, I'm 22 years of age, 23 years of age, 24 years of age. When you're of that age group, you got a lot of stuff you want to go do. You know, you got friends you want to go see. You got places you want to go. There's things you want to do. But you seek and you live. That was pretty clear. You seek, you live. Well, I was thinking in terms of physical living, right? I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't want to die too young. So I'm thinking physical living. But what the Holy Spirit was really saying to me is more than just physically live. It was spiritually live. You see, God is a spirit, and they that worship him in the spirit and in truth, because God is truth. God is love. God is spirit. God is truth. God is light. So I had to come to understand, and God was so good to me. He was so kind, so patient to help me understand that he was really talking about Zoe, the God kind of life. There is a God kind of living that he wanted me entering into, and it was called Zoe, and it's called eternal life. The nature of God is eternal life. And I didn't understand any of those things early as a baby Christian, but eternal life is God's life. It's God's life. And he says, if you'll seek me, you're going to live a new kind of life. It's not going to be a humdrum, mundane, living every day, eating food, going to bed, going to work, or whatever it is we do as we live. But he was talking about eternal life, a life of eternity, a vibrant, exciting life of eternal living. Eternal life is the nature of God. The nature of God? I can be a partaker of his divine nature. I can have the nature of God working in me. Yes, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I want everybody to put your hands right here. Put your hands like this. And I want you to picture your little light. This is your spirit man. Think of your light. Everybody has one. Everybody has a light. Everybody has a spirit. Everybody. Here's my light. Here's my light. Not in my head, not in my nose, not in my toes, not in my fingers. It's here in my spirit. It's me. It's my light. It's my light. It's my light. It's not your light. It's my light. And the devil's out to destroy my light. He wants to snuff my light out. He wants to take my desire to live away. He wants to take my desire to be somebody. He wants to take my desire to have something in this life, something substantial in this living. He wants to take my life from me. And he wants to take my eternal life from me. He wants to take my light, my little light. There's a little song we said, I'm going to let my light shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. See, this is the real you. You have to guard your heart. You have to guard what God has put in you. And he's getting ready to put more and more and more and more. And your light will become bigger and bigger and brighter and stronger to where you can't even walk into a grocery store that somebody doesn't know there's something different about you. You've got something inside you that they can sense and they can't touch it, but they know it's real.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
It's called the light of God.
Amen.
Living in you. Living in me.
Yes.
Eternal life. You can't hide it. You can't dissect it. You can't put it under a microscope. You can't figure it out with a formula. You can't equate it. It is God's eternity living in you. His nature emanating from you. Powerful.
Yes.
force of God, glory of God living in you. We've been given back what Adam lost.
That's right.
But everybody see that light? Mm-hmm. We all start out with a little bitty light. A little light. We got to develop this light. And God was saying to me as a young Christian, seek you me and you shall live. Mm-hmm. Eternal life will be in you. And it'll continue and continue and continue. Boy, I tell you, it's powerful. But all I had to do was seek God. All I had to do was seek God. Well, you know something? If I tell you to read your Bible, oh, I got to read my Bible again. I got to pray. Lord, I got so much to do. What time is it? Okay, I'll give you 10 minutes, God. You know, it's just such a hard thing to seek God. It is if you don't understand the purpose in it. If you just think it's just a punch a time clock for God to get a merit or a little star next to your name, if you think you're just doing it to get some brownie points from God so he'll bless you and be good to you, if you just do it for what you can get out of it, you can forget it. Mm-hmm. If it's all about you just being a good person so God will hear your prayers, you can forget it. Because that's not why you seek God. You seek God because you desperately need the light of God. You desperately need the revelation of God in your spirit man. He says his word is a lamp. It's a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. The entrance of his word gives light. Light is the most powerful force in all the universe. Light. Powerful things happen when you walk in the revelation of God, when you walk in the light of God. Walk in the light of his countenance. Walk in the light of his truth. Walking every day with God is a journey. It's a journey. And every day you just go closer and closer and closer to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe that when we lay down this body and we walk into the eternally, we go through the veil, we go through that parting of the veil, and we go into the kingdom of God, then we're going to know Jesus in a way that we wished we had known him here. And you know what I believe? I believe we can. I believe we can know Jesus, really know Jesus. I believe we can know his ways. I believe we can know, I believe that we can really know God. We can really know God. Really know God. And you know why I believe that? Because the word is just all over the word that you can know God. He said, I'll withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before me. No good thing. No good thing would be knowing God, wouldn't you think? That'd be good. That'd be a good thing to know, knowing God. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Here's another verse the Lord spoke to me as a baby Christian. He was setting the stage for my life. He said, you know, you want a good life. You want to live a long time. You want to enjoy your days upon this earth. I can show you how to do that. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. They that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Woohoo! That looks interesting to me. Looks exciting to me.
That's good.
Somebody got to get a hold of this. Somebody today is going to get a hold of this. Somebody's going to get a hold of the life of eternity living in them in a bright and exciting, vibrant way that's going to change people's lives for eternity. You know, you and I have the potential to change a life that will affect eternity.
Amen.
And only one person, but that one person that you affect can affect millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
Let this be you. Let this be you today. Decide, I'm going to do this. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where you want me to go. I don't know what your plan is for my life, but I tell you what, I'm going to be willing to do it.
Amen.
All he needs is somebody willing. He didn't expect you to grow up overnight. He doesn't expect you to become perfect. In fact, if you try, just try this. You might try it. You may have already tried it. I've tried it. Go one day and be perfect. Anybody ever try it? I've tried it. Some people make it through a day and they get to pat themselves on the back. Well, I feel really righteous today. I feel really good about myself today. I didn't kick the cat. I didn't cuss out a kid. I didn't smack anybody. I didn't cuss anybody out. I didn't do anything wrong. I was a good girl today. So yeah, I get a brownie point. See, your good works do not matter to God. You could be perfect and it still don't matter to God. And you'll still go to hell. And you will never affect anybody for righteousness. This is what he's saying. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And they that be wise. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is eternal life. The wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of God. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. See your light? See your little light? It starts right here within you. Be true to thyself. Be true to yourself. Be true to your light. You know, your conscience will say, you really shouldn't be doing that. And every time, it's like, you ever see a light, a lamp, a lantern, and you think, well, let's turn it down just a little. No, 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 no. You're turning it up. Get some flame going. Get some flame going. Every time you do something wrong that you know is wrong, it dims your light. You don't want to do that. You want to be a vibrant light for God. And you know, God just wants to add more fuel to your life. Make you brighter and brighter and more powerful ministry, more powerful influence in people's lives. They that be wise shall shine as the firmament. Does it say that? Shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I've been made so much fun of over my life, especially age of 22, 23. What do you do for fun? I've had them stop me in grocery stores. I'd be miserable if I had to look like you and dress like you and be like you. I had a girl just jump all over me one time. Well, you must be the most miserable. And just recently I had a girl that had lived in this apartment said, what do you do for fun anyway? I said, I'm extremely happy. For one thing, I know I'm going to heaven. That's something to be happy about. Excited about.
Yes, it is.
I don't have to worry about hell no more. Thank God I don't have to worry about hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I go to sleep and sleep like a baby. I don't have to take a pill for nothing. I haven't taken a pill for nothing in many, many, many years. I have no sickness. I have no disease. I walk pain free. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm in my right mind. I never have to be broke another day in my life. I never have to be sick another day in my life. You can't tell me this ain't living.
Amen.
What sort of things I desire when I pray, I believe I receive it, and I have it.
Amen.
That is the truth. Mm-hmm. You think I'm talking a fairy tale, don't you? Jesus said, what are the things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. Amen. I just found out he was telling the truth. I just had to find out how to do that.
Yes.
And you have to do it according to his way of doing it. Can't tell God how to do things. You can't tell God how to make things happen for you. You got to do it his way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth.
Amen.
Truth. Truth. Jesus isn't a liar. Jesus is not a liar. Don't you call my Jesus a liar. Don't you tell me I can't have whatever I desire when I pray. Don't you tell me that because he said I could.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I do. But he also said, if I have aught against any, I better forgive them. Because if I can't forgive, how's God going to forgive me? And how do I expect my prayers to get answered if I don't walk in forgiveness?
Amen.
I don't let offenses get into me. Yes, people have been mean to me. Yes, people have been really mean to me. Because the devil's really mean.
Mm-hmm.
The devil's really bad. But I don't have to let the bad get into me. I don't have to let it have a place in me. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. And there's nothing that the devil could find to attach himself inside of Jesus. Nothing. Couldn't find a barb. Couldn't find a hole. Couldn't find a thing that would stick there. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing or naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now there's something I want to point out in the ministry this morning and the scriptures I'm sharing. That you know that God did all that he did not for himself. He did it for us. Everything he has done in the plan of salvation was for me. Bless their little darling hearts and their stupid little heads. Seriously. Seriously. I just look at sometimes folks and I think, they just don't know what Jesus did for them. They just don't know how much trouble he went to just for them. He went to so much trouble to get you healed. He went to so much trouble to get you in your right mind. He went to so much trouble to get you delivered from all the works of darkness. I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. It's not supposed to have a hold on me anymore. I'm walking free. I'm walking in the kingdom. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. And guess what's in the kingdom of God? Everything good. Everything powerful, everything wonderful, anything I could possibly ask for, anything I could possibly need. And to him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. That's where the kingdom is. Anything you could ask or think or want from God is in the kingdom. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And, you know, we keep thinking about how far off heaven is, how far away it is, and how we just got to, some folks think that God is deaf, got to cry and beg and scream a whole lot. And yell real loud. And then maybe God will hear them. Maybe if God feels sorry for me, or if I feel bad enough about something, or if I have enough sympathy and I suffer enough, maybe God will have mercy on me. I'm telling you, it's not about any of the emotions that we can conjure up. It's not about any of our hurts. It's not even about our bad, sad me. It's about his word. And the revelation, what he has given us in his word. We're speaking some wisdom here this morning. We're speaking the wisdom of God. And let me tell you what the wisdom of God says. Verse 10. Really got to read verse 9, but I want to read verse 10. Because verse 9 has been pounded and pounded and pounded into the kingdom of heaven and into the saints' hearts. And they did not expound on verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. All means all. Study it out. Study that word. Oh my goodness, I've studied that word. I've written it down. I've looked at it. I've prayed about it. I said, God, what does that word mean? What does it really mean? One word, you really didn't mean all, did you? You really meant all? Did you really mean all, God? Then why is it I don't have all? How come I still don't have all? He said, well, it's yours. It's available. Here it is. All is available to you. He didn't say it for, he says it and he says it and he says it all over the Bible. All means all. But it's really based on your perception of all. See, God has laid certain conditions that you have to seek. You have to believe. You have to have the open heart for this. You have to expand your borders, stretch out your tent, stretch out your stakes. Be willing to do whatever God tells you to do. If God told me to get on a spaceship and fly to the moon, I would do it. I'd do it. That's what God's wanting your all to be, his all. You see, we want all God has, but we're not willing to give God all we have. You see, we're in covenant with God, and God would never ask you to do anything for him unless he really needed you to. That's covenant. I'm in a relationship with God. So if I want his all, then I better give him my all. Send me to China. I don't care, God. I'll do it. I'm his. My all is your all. Yeah, I want your all. So God, I'm going to give you my all. My all is his all. Because see, I want God's all. He's got more to give me than I can give him. But he doesn't ask me for very much, to be honest with you. Yeah, he really doesn't ask me for much. So blind. The devil wants to blind us, doesn't he? So when light comes, the entrance of thy word giveth light and revelation comes, you want to just give him your all. Give him your all. I don't want anything to get in the way, God, of me and you. I don't want anything in the way. Nothing in the way. Nothing hindering my all to you. So let's look at verse 9, and we're going to read verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things, we're talking things now, the things which God hath prepared for them. God's done everything for us. And he says, I've prepared a lot of things for my children. I've given you a lot of things, Teresa, that belong to you. You've got all things belong to you. All things are yours. I have access to the kingdom. All is a big word. Right mind, good night's sleep. You know, as you get older, did you notice that things change, your alls change? Mm-hmm. You want a good night's sleep. You just never think about sleep. I never slept. I mean, I was up all the time. I could go. I mean, I could just stay up all night and run. I was like the Ever Ready Bunny, just never run down. But as you get older, the things you desire change. Believe me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So then verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. Now that's an interesting revelation right there. Because most of us have to feel God. Most of us have to have an emotional experience. Mm-hmm. Y'all follow me so far?
Mm-hmm.
I lost anybody? Mm-hmm. See, my spirit is not my emotional man. My spirit man is the real me. Now, it's attached to my spirit, my soul. My soul and my spirit are very, very close. In fact, the Bible says that it takes the word of God to discern between the soul and the spirit. It's the only thing that can. The only thing that can discern between what your emotions are saying to you or driving you to do is the word of God. And that's where a lot of us get into trouble in serving God, is because we don't know enough word to be led by the spirit, which agrees with the word. And we begin to listen to emotions and we begin to feel like God wants me to do that. And I feel like God wants this, and I feel, and I reason in my feeler. And see, God doesn't say to live by your feeler. He says, live by your faith in him. So this is why we have to know the word, because the word never agrees with your feelings. Sometimes the word will not agree with your feelings. Sometimes the word will say no, but the feelings are so strong, and you've been listening to them for so many years, and you've had listening to all these other voices for so long, that it, even if it contradicts the word that's in your heart, you'll go the way of the feeling, because it's a physical thing. It's something you can feel. See, we're feeling. We're very, very into feeling. Do you understand? We've been this way for a long, long time. We've lost our contact with the spirit realm with Adam. And so human beings are very sensitive to feel and emotions. And our emotions will deceive us. It will deceive you. So it's, let me tell you, the greatest breakthrough is when you got a pain and you can say, I'm going to put the word on that pain.
Amen.
And that word is bigger than that pain. The word of God is way bigger than that pain, if you will believe it, and if you will speak to it. It's bigger than anything of the natural realm. The word of God is spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. So let's go to some more scriptures here. We're speaking wisdom today. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Now we're going to get into some good stuff. Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, follow me now, because I could read the whole book of Hebrews to you, but I'm going to take you through some things. Hebrews chapter 6, let's look at verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now, what is this veil? This veil is the separation into the eternities of the kingdom. There is a veil that separates you and I. There has always been a veil. Since man fell, there's been a veil. It's talking like a wall. It's talking about a wall, a separating wall between us and God. And it's something that's been in the way of us really getting in touch with God as a human race. But it says that we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So there is things we need to enter into through this wall of separation between us and God. That's a fact. I mean, it's just the fact. There is a separating. Have you ever been in prayer and you just feel like God is so far away and you just feel like you're not getting through? There's a wall there. There's something that's in the way of you and God.
Yeah.
Well, we need to have an understanding of what that veil, what we're experiencing. What that, it's a feeling, isn't it? Isn't it a feeling? Sometimes our soul just screams at us. Our emotions scream at us. Especially if you've been walking around in the mold, in the soul all those years. But God is bringing us into understanding how to enter into the veil. Because it says, verse 20, whether the forerunner is for us entered. See, there's that word, for us. He did all this for me. I have someone who did a lot for me. And he's already entered into that veil. He was a forerunner, meaning there's others that are going to happen. He's the very first one who split that veil. He's the very first one, very first human being who entered through that veil. There was never another human being who split that veil open and went through that veil and now is in the presence of God for me. He went through that veil for me so I can enter in also. And not just when I die. Not just when I die. No. I mean, no. You know when eternal life began for me? It began when I was 22. When was I born again? Well, age of 22, I was born again. I was birthed into the kingdom. I entered through the veil. Jesus was the forerunner. He was the first human being to ever be born again. Did you know that? I am born again because he was born again. He was raised from the dead for me. He was killed for me. He was raised up and set at the right hand of the Father for me. Everything was for me. I have an anchor in my heart. I have an anchor in my soul. You see, that's where a lot of people, the enemy can't get to your heart, but he has to work on the soul first. He works on the soul because that's the part he can touch. He can touch your emotional man. He can make you mad. He can make you angry. He can make you jealous. He can make you all these things that are in the soul. That's a part of your flesh. You see, you're a spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a body. Your earth suit is very connected to your soul. Just come up and tell somebody they're ugly and you can't stand them and see if that doesn't affect their soul. They had to hear the words through the ears though, right? That's a physical part of your body. You've got to learn how to dominate that part of you. Don't let the enemy destroy you with your sad, bad self. Sure, people can be mean. Sure, people are going to say mean things to me. Do you think I care? Because I've entered into a veil. I know I've entered in. And I'm walking in the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is within you. How far is God right now to you? How close is God right now to you? Let me tell you where he is. He's right here. Be a God inside minded. Be a God inside minded believer. Don't try to get God's attention way off somewhere. But know that he's in you. He dwells in you. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of God is Jesus. The level you know the word, the level you have Jesus dwelling in you. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Okay, Jesus has split the veil. He's entered into the kingdom. And so in Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 24. This is really exciting when you see this. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. He's entered in. He entered in one time, 2,000 years ago when he was raised from the dead. He entered in to the holy place, the real holy place. We're talking where God lives, God's dwelling place. He lives there for me. He has access to God for me. Do you think Jesus did all this just for himself? He did it so I could have access to God, so I could walk in the presence of God. I could know God face to face. That I could know God, really know God, so that my little light, my little flicker could become a flame. It could become a torch, and it can affect many, many, many lives. I went to a car dealership. I had to drop off of paperwork, and the little boy, you know, I wasn't there to buy a car, but he came run up to me, wanted to sell me a car, and I got in my truck. I said, you know, see this old truck right here? I said, I love my truck. I got a little Nissan pickup. I said, I love his truck, and I said, I'm not in the market right now to buy a car. And he said, well, you know, I said, well, how are things for you? And he said, not very good. He said, I've been here 3 weeks. I'm new. And I haven't sold a car in 3 weeks. I said, give me your hand. I said, you're going to sell a car today, and you're going to sell many cars by the weekend. And I said, in the name of Jesus. He's a Christian. He told me he's a Christian. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I called prosperity and his business. He said, I can't pay my rent. I said, you're going to pay your rent. You're going to sell a car today, and you're going to sell many cars before the weekend. or you're going to sell cars by the weekend. I forget how I said it. But do you know, that was on like a Wednesday, and he called me that Saturday, and he says, I give him my card from the church, and he said, I just had to call you and tell you that as soon as you left, I sold a car. And then I sold two more cars the next day.
Oh, wow.
So he has been blessed because of the light that's in me. I can go into, just try this sometimes. Because that light of God, that anointing of God in your life can so affect other people around you. If you've got revelation, you can share that revelation. And even just your presence. I used to have this cell phone service, AT&T. And I was going to Louisville and I needed a charger or something. And I walked into this little, saw a little AT&T store. I walked in. And there wasn't a soul there. It was just two young people there. And I said, where's all your business? They said, well, we haven't had anybody here all day long. We've just been just dead all day. I said, well, you just wait. You're going to have some business. And as I was in there working, they were helping me. The place started getting slammed. People started walking in. People started walking in. I'm telling you, I see it happen all the time. Anywhere I go. Because there's a light in me. It isn't me. It's God in me. It's God. It's the light of God. It's the faith of God. It's the revelation of God. It's the word of God. It's that anointing. He says in John, he says, you don't have any need that any man teach you. That same anointing will teach you all things. He didn't say you didn't need teachers, didn't need the fivefold ministry. He's not saying that. He's just saying you've got an anointing living in you that will absolutely attract everything good. That anointing will attract. It is absolutely a drawing force. It's a light. What do bugs run to in the dark? The light. Don't you people are attracted to your light? They ain't attracted to mad, bad, and sad. They're attracted to God living in you. Thank you, Jesus. Seek you me. You do the seeking, Teresa. You do some revelation seeking. Seek you me and you shall live. Eternally. And eternal life is a way of living. Living in eternity. You have access to all things in eternity. You see, in eternity, there is no lack in eternity. There's no lack in the kingdom. There's no fear in the kingdom. There's no worry in the kingdom. And let me tell you what you do with fear. If you're afraid of something or somebody, you need to nip that fast and say, I will not fear. I will not fear. What man can do unto me. The Lord is my helper. I face my fear. I will face it. Do you know why David was so fearless in the face of Goliath? He said it. You uncircumcised. He had no covenant with God. He was a covenant man. And he knew this uncovenant, uncircumcised man had nothing on him. Nothing. Nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let me get back on this message here. So, verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I mean, he's sitting there in the face of Almighty God. And where am I sitting? I'm sitting with him in heavenly places. So when I go to Jesus, it's like, how far away is God from Jesus? He's right there at the right hand, right? I'm in Christ, right? My life is hid in Christ. So I'm saying, Jesus, Jesus. I'm telling Jesus about whatever. I'm talking to Jesus. Father's right here. You see, I have a high priest. I have a great high priest who never sleeps, never slumber. He's always making intercession for me. And I can plead my case with him. I can talk to him. And he's, you know, every promise to God is yes and amen to the glory of God the Father. He's not up there ready to smack me down because I want something. He wants me blessed. He went to a lot of trouble to get to this position for me. It says for me, for us. That means me, right? That means us. Okay, so now I can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace, help, and mercy, and help in the time of trouble. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. That means I have access to my heavenly Father who owns everything. Isn't this exciting? Be God inside minded. Allow your light to grow in the revelation of these things. Thank you, Jesus. So he did it for us. Look at John 10, 18. Let me show you something, John 10, 18. We think Jesus was captured and Jesus was, you know, they caught him. Judas betrayed him and buddy, he just couldn't get away. Couldn't get away. They had him. They nabbed him. And now let's drag him to the cross and let's drag him and beat him. And let's nail him to the tree. And you know, we've been taught and the image has been that Jesus was captured. But John 10, verse 18 says, Jesus said, no man taketh it from me.
Right.
Talking about his life. Mm-hmm. But I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Have you received a commandment from your Father? I've received some commandments of God. And I would be in disobedience if I didn't walk in the things I know to walk in. It would be so easy to be sad and mad and upset about things. But I have a commandment. I've received some commandments of God. It would be to me an insult. Now you might think this is wild, but I believe this with all my heart. It would be an insult to the beating and the 39 stripes he took on his back if I allowed sickness to live in this body of mine. That's how I really feel. I really feel that. I can't let that be for nothing, Lord. I can't leave that on the table. Let's not leave that on the table, okay, God? You paid a dear price for that. You want to leave stuff on the table? No. If God paid for that, take what belongs to you. Healing is yours. Healing belongs to me. Avenge on all unrighteous. That's an unrighteous thing. Sickness and disease is from the devil. It doesn't come out of heaven. And you need to get angry and avenge that thing. And show it that it's under your feet.
Come on, preach.
It's under your feet.
Hallelujah.
He wants to avenge you. You do that. No. No, I'm not going to be sick another day of my life. No, I'm not going to be bondage to the devil. I have nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but give I unto you. And we just think that means, well, I'll be okay one day. No, he wants you to walk in victory 100% of every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every single day. Now, if you have a bad, sad self, it's because you aren't redeemed from that area of your life. You've not been renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your thinker. You got to start thinking right, believing right, and put the right things in your mouth. You know, and let's look at Mark. You'll ever learn if every one of us starts speaking to our mountains. Your mouth is so powerful. Mark 11, 23. This is the nature of God working in you. This is eternal life exposed. For verily I say unto you, Mark 11, 23, for that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. See, that's where I think the enemy really puts a block, a roadblock, because he knows this works 100% of the time. But you have to grow your light and the level of believing for things. You have to grow this. You develop your faith. You grow your faith. You grow into maturity. You come into the perfect man. He's not talking about being totally perfect. He's talking about having faith to believe for things. Having faith to and developing your faith. You know, the greatest ways, the quickest ways to develop your faith? Pray in the Spirit. Baptize the Holy Ghost. You got to do that. Get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then allow the baptism of the Holy Ghost to do what it was intended to do. Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's like your battery gets weak on your phone, doesn't it? Well, then you need to charge it. You want to be charged fully? Then pray in the Holy Ghost till you know your battery's charged. Get that light charged. Get the revelation. I can be walking along. I'll pray in tongues for maybe 45 minutes, 35 minutes. I don't have a time clock, but I just pray until I feel the peace. And then I just go on by and do my thing. And next thing you know, I hear a word from God. I get a drop from a revelation. I hear something new. Or I have a light come, or he'll speak to me. But I'm telling you, it starts because you plug in to the power. through tongues, revelation tongues, speaking in tongues. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he's speaking divine secrets. You're drawing divine revelations out of the kingdom into your spirit, man. It's bypassing your brain, because a lot of times your brain couldn't understand it anyway. But it'll dawn on your mind. It'll begin to dawn on your understanding. Well, that's what God's word meant. Read your Bible, and then, whoa, it's amazing how the Holy Ghost will begin to reveal things. Well, is that what you meant by that? Wow, that's what you meant. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3. I'm going to get ready to close here. Hebrews 3. Let me tell you what. Let me just tell you what. We're going to come into something called God's rest. You know, he worked 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. Christians have got to come into the seventh day of rest, walking in the kingdom of God and resting in God's word and who they are in the kingdom is his rest. And he says in Hebrews chapter 3, I know this. I just know this. I'm not trying to share something with you I don't know. I've experienced the rest of God in my life. I would have already killed a few people. Would have been in prison. Y'all think I'm making that up. I'm telling you. God had to help me understand how to rest in him, how to rest in his word, how to lean on him, and how to get, not to allow offenses and anger and all that mess get into me. And if you have any in you, get it out of you and live in his rest. Look at chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, just remember this. Not knowing God's ways will keep you from entering into his rest. That's as simple as it is. Trying to make something more out of that. He's just letting you know that if you want to enter his rest, you're going to have to know his ways. Seek you me and you shall live. And you can learn to live an eternal life. Eternal life is a divine rest. God isn't anxious and worried and nervous and jerky about anything. So you enter into that rest of God, the seventh day rest. He gave the Jewish people the seventh year. Is it the year of Jubilee? See, Jesus is our Jubilee. When you enter into Christ and he's entered into the veil and you know that he's seated right by the Father and you know that you're in him and he's your intercessor, he's your high priest, and he says, hold no good thing from those that walk uprightly before him. Seek you first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. And all those promises start clicking in your understanding. And you think, wow, why would I give all that up? What's worth on this or giving that up? So that's why he says you give him your all, whatever he wants you to do. Find out what God wants you to do. Really find out. I mean, really, really ask him. I'm willing to do whatever. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. A lot of people are obedient, but they're not willingly obedient. There's a difference, you know. There's a difference in just being good and doing everything you know God wants you to do, but are you doing it willingly? Well, I got to pay my tithes this week. Well, I'm happy to pay my tithes. Hallelujah. Not because I have to, because I love to. I love God. I just love God. I like his ways. I found out it's easier to serve God and willingly serve God than it is to try to do it because I have to, just so it'll be good for me. And it is good for you to serve God. It is good. I mean, all things come from God good. But look here at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, I was looking at the doing thing, and then all of a sudden he switches gear and he says the believing thing kicks in. And he calls unbelief an evil thing. So I knew I had to work on my believing. I had to work on something called my faith. And you cannot ask God for faith, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That's the only way faith comes. I've cried and prayed and sought God over the years, and I just had to find out, do it God's way. You want faith? Get it through the word. Seek him, seek you me, and you shall live. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word was made flesh, and we've handled Him, we've touched Him, the Word of life. How close is Jesus? He's right here. Chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, since we're here. Verse 1, let us therefore fear. You better be afraid, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. What's the promises of entering in? Whatever you can believe. What can you believe God to do for you? That's the promise to enter into that rest. There's the promise. Oh yeah, I'm going to have that. That's mine. I lay hold on these promises. I lay hold on eternal life. I lay hold on the Word of God. I speak the Word. I don't pray my problem. I pray my answer. I speak to my problem. I put the Word to my problem. I had Bell's palsy attack my face. I was 35 years old. No, it was 34. I was 1993. I had the densest case of Bell's palsy anybody could ever have. And I go see the doctor and didn't want to, but they made me do it. I was working in a dental office at the time, and I looked like Quasimodo. Hi, how are you all today? You come for dentistry today? Did you have some dentistry? No, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. This is nothing. By the stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed of the Lord by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed. Only I look worse than that. I was like, my eyeball was like this. I had to tape it shut at night. But you never heard me say one time I had Bell's palsy, by golly.
Come on.
Never. I ain't going to give the devil my mouth.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give him no praise or any acknowledgement at all.
Amen.
Because I knew that if I did, that I had given him a hold into me. Mm-hmm. Into my faith, into my heart. Mm-hmm. Believe it in your heart. Those things that you say come to pass. I had to believe it in my heart. I'm giving him no room. Give him no place.
That's right. Amen.
And I looked terrible. My eyes drooling. My mouth drooling. I was like, nope, by the stripes of Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. And I just stood on the Word of God. And those doctors were just, and they saw, 12 days it left, 12 days. The doctors told me, said, oh, this is pretty bad. This is the densest case I've ever seen. They will tell you that too. You've got the worst case. Oh, I've looked through all my manuals. This is never like seen like this. You've got the worst case. It's like, not to God. Ha ha. Praise God. I never said a thing like that to the doctor because I knew it would be casting my pearls before swine. You got to be careful.
Okay.
And you got to be careful who you ask to pray with you also.
Right.
Because if you get the person to pray with you and they're going to be all nice and religious and say, oh, yeah, sister, I pray with you. And they're really thinking, she's a hopeless case. This will never get well. It'll never be well. And you got this unbelief going on. You don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very careful who I have to agree with me mm-hmm. in prayer. You need to be too. Seek you me, and you shall live. Life is just right here in us. We grow our faith. We grow our life in God. Glory to God. Can I end you with one verse? It's in Hebrews chapter 8. I want to end right here. Hebrews 8, 1. And this is a good verse to sum everything I've shared with you. Because it says that, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the end. This is it. We have such a high priest that is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That's who we have. Gave up his life willingly. Entered in through the veil for us. He's seated at the right hand of God for me. Ever to make intercession. He's there for me. He's never sent anyone that comes to me. I'll never send you away. Never cast you out. So he says, this is the sum. We have right now such a high priest which is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Why give man all the credit? Why give doctors all the credit? Who do they think they are telling me I'm sick? I've got a true tabernacle I can run to. I've got a high priest who's already paid for my healing. And my right mind. God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And you can't have it, devil.
Hallelujah.
That's how I feel. That's what I believe. That's just the truth. Now it's just time to act like it. That's the challenge. You believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
Then you walk around acting like it's true. Do you see that? Thank you, Father. Father, I seal this word today. I thank you for it that we have a high priest You are our great high priest. You're a great high priest. And this light in us, Lord, is going to shine. We're going to affect many, many lives toward righteousness, right way of thinking, right way of believing. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.